All right, I am going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, and we'll be starting a mini-series. It's a basic three principles on giving. And you say, why giving? Oh, well, it's a good time to do it. We seem to be doing fine. We have wonderful givers in the church, whichever way that goes. So it makes it easy to teach on something like this, and it has been something God has placed on my heart. I know some of the other pastors have talked about it. Who's actually going to teach it this year? We tried to teach a round or a series on basic doctrine in the church that the church needs to be reminded of. You and I, as we grow and develop, there's things from these lessons that might be a little bit different than last year or the time before, or maybe one of the other pastors teaches on it and has a different flair to it, and you might get something out of it. Maybe a lot of times Pastor Tom will be preaching or teaching, and he'll have a verse. I like the other stuff the other night he had on eternal security. I've never seen some of those verses that he'd had. Oh, I've read them, but in the context that he used them, it was enlightening, and I wrote some notes down. It helps me. So a lot of times that'll happen. You'll hear Brother Phil, he'll get up and preach or teach on something, and something will click. And you might have heard it 1,000 times, or vice versa. So tonight, hopefully that's one of those things. You should know me well enough now that I am not an axe grinder. I don't like to crisis, get on things that are crisis, like I know something, and so that's what I'm going to teach on or preach on. I like the Holy Spirit to guide me. Generally, I've taught and read this or looked at it months before and begin to type notes up, and then I solidify it, and then generally it sets there or pray about it. Sometimes, I have a lot of stuff here that I have not taught or preached on. It seems like it's not there. The notes are there, but God doesn't lead that way tonight. This is kind of where we're at, 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Now, in teaching this, I want to teach it in a format that is, it's information for you. So if you ever get a question on, well, what do you believe about giving or tithing? Tithing's a big one. What do you believe about tithing? Or what do you believe about grace giving? What do you believe about free will offerings? And so there'll be a number of ways to put it, and the Bible uses all those phrases. So this is information for you. You might want to take some notes down, or remember 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The Apostle Paul is dealing, again, with the Corinth church, and there was a lot of problems in that church. So there's a lot of subjects that the Apostle Paul dealt with and wrote about. And this is one of them about giving. And I'm not going to exegetically take every verse, but we'll look at a few and we'll develop this series. It'll be a mini-series. I have not forgot about our Stronghold series. It's one of those things where God allows or leads in, so we have one more in that set, and it's set up, ready to fire, and we'll deliver it in time enough, but that is still on the runway, and we will complete that. I like completing things. Tonight, we're going to start this. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Let me read. I want to capture verses 6 and 15. Now, for full context of what we're reading, doctrinally, you want to back up to chapter 8. Read chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10, and it's going to tip into chapter 11, and then you can fast forward to chapter 16. That is your context. Be careful when you take a verse or phrase a verse, where you're getting it, where it's coming from, who it's written to. You might be reading something that's not necessarily written directly to you or the church. It might be a Jewish context, it might be a Gentile context, and it might be a church context. We are in a church context. We know this by what the Apostle Paul has written and concluded in this epistle. So 2 Corinthians chapter 9, notice with me, I'll just read verses 1 down through verses 6 or so. It says, "For as touching the ministry to the saints." Now notice as we begin reading this, he is going to build on chapter 8. I don't want to leave that behind, because you'll back up and read chapter 8 and say, well, there's a lot on giving there. There is, and we might develop some of it, but not tonight. Chapter 9 now, 2 Corinthians, it says, "For as touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia, that Achaia was ready a year ago, and your zeal hath provoked very many. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Least happily, if they of Macedonia come with me and find you unprepared, we that we say not ye should be ashamed in this same confidence boasting. You say, what is he saying? Well, we'll get a little more in context here. What is going on is Paul's reminding them of their commitment to help other saints. And so he was going to come by or send some people by, and they were going to take up an offering for saints that were wanting. They were poor, and he was going to send it that way. And so this is what's going on. And he's in Macedonia writing to him here at Corinth. So watch this, verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty, whereof ye have noticed before, that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as covetousness. Verse 6, but this I say, and this is going to be our text verse. This is the principle we'll draw on tonight. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we bow before you this evening, and we thank you for, again, this opportunity and for your folks to come out. And Father, we ask that you'd fill me with your Holy Spirit. Be with your words, be with the message here and the notes. And Father, I pray that it be a blessing and a help to someone, not a hindrance, not a tearing down, but a building up, an encouragement to build on the righteousness, Father, that you had given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we also want to mention again our prayer list that we've prayed for. We ask that you would answer these prayers in accordance to your will. And Father, we ask all this tonight. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we've got a few verses here. Verse 6, we'll read it again as we develop this. But I want to say by way of introduction that this is not speaking of not health, not wealth, name it or claim it, okay? So we want to separate from that type of statement. This is something that is supernatural, and so we want to take part of the principle. And you say, what is the principle? The first principle, this principle here that we're going to look at tonight, is the principle of sowing. So if you're taking notes, the principle of sowing, and that's verse 6. You cannot sidestep when you're dealing with giving. We're going to deal with talent or money tonight. You cannot sidestep the infallible law of sowing and reaping when you're dealing with giving. It's in the Bible, and this is one of the illustrations that seems to be used dealing with this topic in Corinth. And so this is what we're going to use now. Now I'm going to show you some verses, and we're going to look at this a little bit broader, the principle of sowing and reaping. And let me say this by way of tithing. Here's what I like to call New Testament church giving or tithing. It's called grace giving. It seems that God definitely instituted tithe in the Old Testament. We're going to look at that. And it incorporated into the law. It was before the law, during the law, after the law. And you get into the church age, that would put us about the fourth one back. You get into the church age and you hear this thing of a bountifully given as a man purposeth in his heart. Now, I'm not sidestepping tithing. Well, matter of fact, while I'm on that, let me give you the notes that are written in the back of my Bible, and I jotted them down on my notepad here. But let me give you this. Genesis chapter 14, verse 20, Abraham started it. All right? That principle was given to God. Abraham started. Abraham, by the way, was before the law. Okay? So a lot of times people say, when you talk about tithe, well, that's the law. Tithe was before the law. All right, it's a principle given by God, and it's set up there, and he doesn't seem to change his mind much on it. The thing that changes is what's indicated here in some of these verses, and I'll show you more here in a minute, in the New Testament, is God says, yeah, okay, that's the given, but I want your heart to be willing to give more if need be, if God lays on your heart. So it's not set. Say, well, if I give my 10%, that God gives me the blessings, that's how it has to work. It doesn't work that way. It is a heart motive again. We're going to go back. I deal a lot with this in my teaching and preaching. It's a heart motive. And let me say this. Any giving, whatever you want to call it, tithe, I'm okay with tithe. I'm okay with grace giving. Any giving you give starts with God giving. You're going to have to give your heart to God. Because if he doesn't own your heart, he's not going to get any other part of you. You might give begrudgingly, and the Bible speaks of that. Begrudgingly means, well, I'll give it, but I want to be in control of it. Or I'm not very happy about it because I got to give and I know I have to give. And so you haven't surrendered your will and your heart to the giving. Listen, it might be 50 cents. There are some weeks I haven't made any money. You say, what do you do? I don't give anything. There's some weeks where I make a lot. And you say, what do you do? I don't give. No, I give. Got to watch what I say here on Facebook and others. No, I believe in tithe and I practice it. By the way, some of the better givers I know, because of the pastors, they give a lot, more than 10%. And so, and I probably shouldn't even be saying that, but Abraham started it in Genesis chapter 14, verse 20. That's where it shows up. Jacob continued it in Genesis chapter 28 and verse 22. So if you're taking notes, this is a very good run through the Bible quickly on tithing or giving. Okay, so Jacob continued it in Genesis 28, 22. Moses incorporates it in Genesis. Here's where it shows up in the law. In Leviticus 27, 30. Leviticus chapter 27 and verse 30. You remember when Nehemiah got the burden to go back and rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. Nehemiah restored it, the tithe, in Nehemiah chapter 13, verse 10 through 12. You'll read about it. Malachi commanded it in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. That's the famous verse a lot of preachers and pastors will use. Wherein hath you robbed me? The famous question that God put to his people. And he said, wherein have we robbed you? They asked God. And God says, in tithes and offerings. And he was dealing with the Jews' people doctrinally. But you say, well, how's that apply to us? I mean, it hadn't been done away with. God will tell you when he does away with something, it's amazing how he can get that across very easily. It's like the law. The law's good. There's the law of ordinances, the sacrificing. He says he done away with it at the cross. But what about the moral law? Still wrong to kill. Still wrong to steal, all right? So he doesn't do away with that law, okay? The cross was the end of righteousness for the law, is what the Bible says. Let's get back to our list here. So we said Malachi commanded it in Malachi chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Jesus commended it in Matthew chapter 23, verse 23. You say, where would you take somebody to begin to show this principle of giving in the Bible? You're getting the list right here. Okay, so we said Jesus commended it. God ordained it in 1 Corinthians chapter 19, okay, verses 13. Paul explains it in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. So it goes all the way through the Bible when we end. I'll end it right there in the church age. But the principle tonight, we have three of them. The first one is the principle of sowing and reaping. Of sowing. Let's do this. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17 states this, according to what one has. You need to be careful with this. A lot of times we'll get asked a question. I know I have. I know the other people, other men have. Is, well, do I give off of borrowed money? No, that's not taught in Scripture. You might step out on some faith promise. Maybe I know some churches practice that, but not on borrowed money. That's a no-no. You want to be careful of that. So according to what one has, the Bible says this, and being as we start in the Old Testament, I'm going to use Deuteronomy chapter 16, verse 17. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. Now that was back in the Old Testament. And you'll find that he'll say the same thing in the New Testament, as a man purposeth in his heart. All right, it's laid out in the New Testament. But I want to show something else about this. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24, speaks of a scattering or dispersed abroad giving. All right, where it's needed. A lot of times God will lay maybe an individual. You'll know that they're going through a hard time, and so God will lay on that heart. It might be, tonight we're speaking of money, but it could be maybe a meal, or it could be clothes. It could be money. A lot of times, one of my father's favorite verses is, money answereth all things. In the Old Testament, it's written, and that's one of the sayings of that verse. And so sometimes when you don't know what to give, give them some money, $10 bill, $5 bill, $100 bill, whatever God lays on your heart. And so this is speaking of dispersing abroad to scatter. And here's what the verse says in Proverbs. There is that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but it tendeth to poverty. That lends itself to the principle of sowing and reaping. Let me say that again. Here's the verse, Proverbs 11, 24. There is that scattereth, okay, and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth. You don't cast a lot, You're not going to get a lot. And that's what it says. He says, and there is that withholdeth more than is meat, but it tendeth to poverty. You want to give a little bit? You have a tendency to be more broke than when you give. That's the principle of sowing and reaping. Basically, here it is. If you sow a lot, you're going to reap a lot. If you sow sparingly or a little, you're going to reap a little. And so that is hooked with what God's blessing is on giving. All right, now I'm in the context of money, but I'm going to be careful how I say that. You say, why? It's because there's a lot of preachers in pulpits that are out to get somebody's money. Get your hand in your pocket. That's not what's going on tonight. Church is doing well. God is blessed through His people and the hearts of His people. And so we do fine here. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful to be a part of a church that is a giving church. So having said that, I think it's also important for a preacher or a teacher to teach these things so you can learn more about this principle. So our first one is sowing and reaping. And we said in Proverbs, let's look at one in Ecclesiastes. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 1. So we talked about scattering abroad. It's going to be scattered. I know a lot of times, years gone by, he probably still does it. My father, knowing him, God would lay somebody on his heart and he would have some money tucked back and he would give some money to that person. He might be in a meeting. It might be a need that he knows about. He'll call, verify it, and then maybe send some money to him. But that is scattering abroad. I'm sure you probably, there are stories here tonight where you've helped somebody along the way. It might not have been in here. It might have not somebody that you were close to or a family member, but yet you still ministered to them in some need or some way. Sometimes you don't have the money to give, but you have the time. And so God will use your time. And then sometimes you might not have the time, but you might have the money. So you give the money. And then the talent. You might have a talent that God has need of. You might not have money or time, but the talent that God has given you, the gift, you're able to use to disperse broadly to the ministering of the saints and even those that aren't saved. So what I'm trying to say is giving is a good thing, and it's healthy for your relationship with God and other people. If you're stingy, and there's a lot of people who can be on that side, you know, you get called that from time to time. It doesn't matter if you really are or not. Somebody will call you that and they'll try to get in your mind or in your head. But here's the thing. You don't really want to be stingy. You want to be a giver. And you want to be a giver. A lot of people who have that right are amazing what they give. We have blessed givers here. And I'm speaking of the monetary end of things. People who give that you wouldn't point them out. It wouldn't be the people who you think they are. And that give a lot. And it's wonderful to know. I don't know all, and I just hear about it from time to time over been here 10 years. And it's a blessing how God works in those people's lives and blesses them. I'm assured that it's because their heart has been given to God and given and understand the principle of sowing and reaping. And so we want to look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 1. This is not, this is casting. This speaks of intense or intentional action. All right, you're intentionally going to do this. Here's what the verse says. Cast thy bread upon the waters, for thou shalt find it after many days. You have some intent. It might be a ministry that you say, I like that ministry. I love that ministry. And I know some of these ministries run off of money. You have to have money to operate. And so you would give intently to that. Or it might be an individual. So it can be collectively or individually. It can be through an organization. We had a gentleman, I won't be able to recall his name, and I don't need to, but he called from out west. I want to say Arizona, if I remember right. And he wanted to donate money, not to our school, but to a boy's home. And so he was asking and inquiring how he did that. He had never done that through a religious organization. And so there's a proper way of doing that. I'm talking about a large amount of money. And so there's a way or a channel of doing that. I didn't know him from Adam. I did get a chance to ask him if he was saved, a Christian, a born-again Christian, and he was. And he had a heart and a burden for a specific school that he wanted to minister to, and he knew that money would help get that ministry going. And he did. He done it through the church. We help him get in contact and work that through the proper channels at that time. And so that's what Ecclesiastes 11:1 is speaking of. Speaking of a casting, you're giving out with intent, with intensity, and with intentional. It's not just giving. Here, like a tithe. Tithe is the basic. You might have a special offering. The Bible speaks of a special offering or a free will offering. It might be given to maybe somebody coming along the way. It might be given to whatever. But here, this verse is speaking of intents. You have a certain specific point or purpose for that. And so there's another one here, speaks of secret giving. I've often heard people use this verse out of context, and I'll explain it to you. Take your Bibles and turn with me to Matthew chapter 6, and we'll read verses 3. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 3. It says, secret giving is what I have here, because that's the context. And Christ is teaching a principle to his disciples that were having trouble with this. And so he says here in this verse, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. I've heard this. Well, when you give money, it needs to be in secret. That's not speaking of that, because it contradicts 1 Corinthians chapter 6, or 16 verse 2. It's a secret giving. Have you heard this term? A Baptist handshake? Yeah, some people are smiling and shaking their head. Yeah. A Baptist handshake, somebody hands you a 20 or a 50 in their palm and they shake your hand. And they say, here, brother, this is for you. The last time that happened to me, I was happened to be visiting my brother in Tennessee. This is almost a miracle for my brother. He handed me a $100 bill. He said, this is for you. I wasn't speaking. I just come through some family time for a day or so, and then we went on. But he handed, I don't know if I told you about that, honey. But I think I did. I'd probably give it to her, but he handed me that as a Baptist handshake. You might get one of those handshakes. If you haven't had one, see Brother Heinz. He'll show you how that works. Or Brother Terry. All right, but that's how that works. It's a secret giving. Nobody needs to know about it. Undisclosed amount, it doesn't matter. Whatever God lays on your heart. There's been times when I've laid out as a young man, this is just me, it's just something God lays on your heart, burdens you for maybe a preacher coming or a missionary is a missionary, and lay $700-$800 from my savings account and give to them. Not because they said they had a need, it's because God burdened my heart to a point to where I need to do something about it. God had told me what to do. And he pressed upon me, and I did it. And you say, what happened? God blesses that. I wasn't looking for a blessing. I wanted to follow what God had told me to do. God will speak to your heart. He says, try me. And he says, and see if I don't pour out a blessing upon you. So giving is very important. If you're stingy or if you have a problem with it, I automatically know the problem for you and I would be a heart problem. It's a heart motive problem when you have struggles with giving. You say, well, I want to give a lot, but I don't have a lot. You don't have to give a lot. God works with, he knows what you give. He knows your bills. A lot of that stuff works more off of fear than it does disobedience to authority. It's more of a fear. Remember, I mentioned that the other night. You have more of a fear, like, I can't pay my bills, and I want to try to give, and this is a struggle. Sometimes fear captivates you and works to your misbehalf on not giving. Be careful of that. But God knows what you have. If you're not a millionaire, you don't give a million. You know, you might only make $100 a week or $50 a week or $700, whatever it is. God knows what you make, and you purpose in your heart based off of what you have. God has blessed you with. And okay, so let's look at, this Matthew, a lot of times you say, what is the out of context? A lot of times people will say, well, that's your tithe, that's what's going on there. That is not what is going on there. That was a free will offering given, and so that is given. If you look at Matthew chapter 6 very carefully in 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Speaking of 1 Corinthians chapter 16, let's go there, 1 Corinthians chapter 16. I'm watching the time. I said I'd get out early. That might have been a misquote or misstatement. 1 Corinthians chapter 16. Now, verse 2, this is what I call regular giving. You say, why would you call it regular giving, a tithe giving? It's because how specifically it's outlined. I want to show you something here. He says, now concerning the collection, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 1, now concerning the collection for the saints, context church, context saints, context collection, watch when it should be. As I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. So he had given orders to the Galatia church, well, the church at Galatia. Now he was given to orders to Corinth and follow suit to these churches upon the first day of the week. So when? Pretty easy. First day of the week. How much? Let every one of you lay by him in store. So it's going to be something that you might set aside. You might have to. In today's age, all the bills we have and everything that goes on, some of us get paid every 2 weeks, some of us get paid once a week, some of us get paid once a month, some of us never get paid. You know? It's crazy. Where before, 50 years in the background, it was pretty set, cut, and dried. But here, watch what he says here and how he lays this out. We're going to look at these words and the phrasing. He said, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him. Okay? It's not borrowed money. You got $30,000 sitting in your account that's borrowed money and you think you owe tithe on it. Be careful with that. Be careful. As God has prospered him, that's money coming in that you make. All right, I often get this too. Well, do you tithe off the net or the gross? Well, I ask this question. I don't mean to be mean with it, but which part do you want God to bless? If you want all of it blessed, I would go off the gross. If you want just the net blessed, then let God, then give the net. As he purposeth in your heart, okay, and prospered you, that there be no gatherings when I come. So what was going on here, the context, so there be no gatherings when I come? A lot of times, a church will lay aside back, like change money, or Wednesday night offering, or Sunday night offering, they'll lay that money aside, and they put it aside, and it grows. So when you have a revival meeting, or you have something special, you have money designated. It's set aside. This is what's going on here. And he said, so when I come, there'll be no gatherings when I come. We have somebody coming in, we want to give them an offering, but we don't have the money because the money don't come in. What do you do? Well, this is the system that you would use. Notice verse 3. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters. All right, so you need somebody set over this. Then will I send to bring your liberality in Jerusalem. Now I'm going to get real. Let's do a Bible study here. This is a group of people or more than one person, and I'll show you how you get this, more than one person that's over the offering. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, that's somebody who's of honest and good report, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 4, a steward must first be found faithful, and he goes down through a requirement. So this is who you want to approve, them. That's not a singular, that's more than one person. Shall I send to bring your liberality, that's the money, unto Jerusalem? All right? And if it be meet that I go also, they shall go with me. They. So you've got more than one person there. You say, wow, how'd you get that? That's just what it's saying. Take it for what it says. So you say, what are we saying here? This is regular giving here. So I've showed you secret giving, regular giving, casting or intense giving with intentional action, and then scattered. You kind of throw it out there. That's kind of like, that would be like your missions or a ministry of the church. You kind of give it to them, and they're going to put it in certain places in that ministry. So that would be where it's needed, scattered abroad. That was in Proverbs. And so according to what one has. Always remember that principle. It's according to what one has. I am not against faith promise. I'm not against that system. What I am against with that type of system is trying to get the church people to give more than what they have. There are churches who do that. I'm not for that principle. It does not teach sound biblical principle. Especially, it doesn't line up with the Word of God. I believe in faith. I believe in faith promise. But you got to be careful. If you commit yourself to a certain amount of money, you're not able to keep up with that. You pledge your money on faith promise. I'll give $500 this year. Well, if you don't have the money, which is better, keeping what you pledge or not keeping what you got to have to be careful with that. Purpose in your heart as God has blessed you. The motive is the heart. God will take care of the amount, trust me. All right, and so you say, what are you saying? Well, it teaches us some things. I want to end here, and I will go over these again with the next principle we teach. I'm going to give you six things. You might not write them all down, but I have them here. Number one, six things giving builds in your life and in my life. It teaches us to look beyond ourselves. And this principle will work in any setting of giving. Again, if you're a stingy person, you're not going to like what I'm saying at all. I don't think anybody, and hopefully is not, but there are people you'll meet who are. But one thing you'll know about a stingy type person, it teaches us to look beyond ourselves. They'll be all about themselves. All right, so that you say, is that good? That's not good. That's not godly or biblical. Secondly, it teaches us we are stewards and not owners. I'll remind you and I tonight that the things that I owned, I don't really own. God owns. And then the bank. But the things that you have, God has given you. He's given you your health. He's given you your family. He's given you your job. He's given you your food. He's given you your raiment. He's given you your house. And everything that you have, there are God's. So don't waltz into church thinking that you don't owe God anything. You owe God everything. And by the way, everything you have that's a blessing is from God. So it teaches us we are stewards, not owners. You're not an owner, you're a steward. And you say, what's the difference? An owner, you can do whatever you want with what you own. A steward is to do good with what he's been given. And you've been given certain things by God, blessings. And you're to manage those for God's sake. Remember the parable of the person who had, what, 3 talents? And then what was it, 10 talents, 50 talents, whatever? Well, the one that did well, he did great. The other one, kind of okay. And the other one, he hid it. He buried it. He said, I was afraid. Well, he should have been afraid. God dealt with him, or the Lord in that parable dealt with him. And he said, you didn't steward the money correctly. And so we're stewards, we're not owners. It arrests greed, thirdly, it arrests greed and self-centeredness. You have problems giving, you're going to have a problem with self-centeredness. It's going to be about you and greed. Anyone I've ever met that struggled with this, that would come in conflict with teaching, I already know right up front they are going to struggle with a heart motive. Their heart's not right on this thing, and that they're going to have a self-centeredness about them. Everything revolves around them. They view everything they judge or look at through their eyes, and it should be through the eyes of the Word of God. How far removed we get sometimes from the Bible. And then fourthly, it opens the door for sacrificial life. You give to others. You give to others. This is what this is about. It opens the door for a sacrificial life. That's what Christ exemplified to us. He showed us how to live a sacrificial life. God has given us so much. He teaches us by his own example of giving. And fifthly, it teaches us that we can trust God with money, which opens the door to trust him with other things in our lives. You say, man, that's hard. Yeah, I know. It's easier standing up here saying all this, and then you got to try to administer it through your life. It's a working progress. And then sixthly, it is obedience. You'll see that God and the Word of God does not teach contrary to giving. All right? And so I'm thankful for that. I have these notes here. If I've went a little quick for our first principle, I will reiterate some of this for our second principle. And hopefully it might be next Wednesday evening. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. But let's all stand. And I'll do something a little bit different. We normally don't. The altar is always open. That invitation, I like calling it an invitation. If you have a need to come forward and pray, by all means, I want that. If you just have an inkling to want to come forward and pray, you should come forward and pray. You don't want to resist that. Maybe the Holy Spirit's dealing with you. You can pray right where you're at. There's sometimes God lays on you to come forward and pray. He does my heart, and I do it out of obedience to that call. It doesn't matter what it is, it's just maybe doing it because I hadn't done it in a while. So don't ever feel bad about walking forward wanting to pray. That is never wrong. It's good. You also can pray right here, pray in your car going home. But we will not have an invitation as we normally do. We're going to pray and be dismissed, and I've got you 5 minutes early, so that should be good. All right, hopefully this builds. If you got a question about this, we'll write it down, jot it down, and we'll try to clear it. But we have two more principles coming on giving. The first one is on sowing and reaping. All right, let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Our Heavenly Father, we do bow before you. And Father, we thank you for your word, the continuity that we just apply ourselves to it. I like what the Bible says. You said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Father, we just study and apply it and divide it correctly, rightly dividing. That's what we can learn from it. Father, work on our hearts this week. Put on our minds and our hearts, burden our hearts for someone in need. Maybe somebody close to us, maybe somebody afar. But Father, work on our hearts to be a giving people back to you because it's pleasing to you. Father, be with our prayer petition again. Answer the prayers according to your will. Bless your people. Keep us safe on the road. Be with the rest of our week. And we ask all this in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. God bless you.